You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is a syndicated show produced in the studios of CJSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
People say to me all the time, oh, what can I do? I'm just one person. So I would just say, you know, the power of one is all you have, but we all have it. And we, in the end, are the most powerful thing, and we are driving the system.
That's the voice of Alexander Morton. We speak to Alex today about the ongoing destruction of British Columbia's coast from fish farming, her thoughts on the Cohen Inquiry, and what we as citizens need to do moving forward if we want to save our wild salmon. So stay tuned. On the line, I have Alexander Morton. She's a registered professional biologist who's been living in the remote archipelago region studying whales and protecting the coast all her life. And in the last few years, she's been very involved and a champion opponent to fish farms and what she believes is a major threat to our coast here. And she's just witnessed and testified at the Cohen Commission, a commission set up to investigate the collapse of the Fraser sockeye. Welcome back to the show, Alex.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, I happened to witness your testimony, and I must say, like many others, I was very frustrated to see much of your testimony was spent defending yourself against what I would say a character assassination. They were asking you where you went to school and all of these kind of silly things. And at one point you said to them, are we actually going to talk about the salmon? Do you feel this happened at the inquiry? Were they able to get to the meat of what's happening to our salmon?
No. And the fact that the lawyers for the province and Canada spent all of their time attacking me, it was just an effort to prevent a report that I was trying to get introduced as an exhibit. And what this report was based on was 500,000 documents that were sent to the Cohen Inquiry, and the participants had access to them. They're confidential, but because we were participants, we could read them. And so I spent 9 months, very long days, going through these documents and reading the emails between DFO people and the province, reading the disease databases from the salmon farms, the briefings, the PowerPoints, scientists thinking and complaining and being frustrated. And I pulled it all together into a report, because what happened to the Fraser sockeye is not rocket science. Once you really look at what everybody knew in their different little corners, the pattern is very clear. And so I pulled it together into a report that Cohen could read, Justice Cohen, because he obviously doesn't have the time to go through 500,000 documents. And the reason they have participants was that so that we would do that. And the lawyer for Canada blocked the exhibit and said, it's hearsay. Well, yeah, it's what I heard everyone in DFO saying. The scientists that were in the river trying to figure out why hundreds and thousands of these fish are dying every year just before spawning. And then also talking to or reading the PowerPoints and the thinking out loud of the scientist who appears to have figured this out, Dr. Christy Miller. She was tasked to figure out why these fish were dying by DFO. She is a DFO scientist. She did figure it out, and they then muzzled her. She's not allowed to talk to the media under, you know, tremendous constraints. And when she testified, she said she no longer has any money to do research on sockeye salmon. The lawyer for Canada even argued with me about that. He said she didn't say that. Well, it's in the record. The transcripts are on the website. And then he said, well, she really should use what he called viva voce, which is the living voice. And so I was prepared to do that. I completely know everything that's in that report and what all these people were saying, and I was ready to talk about that. But then he said, no, actually, you can't do that because you're not a vet. You're not a veterinarian. So what was going on there was obstruction of the truth. I guess he had looked at the report. I assume he did. All the lawyers were sent a copy prior to my testimony. And he didn't ask a single question about it. And I think it's because it touched too close to the nerve. The pattern of the sockeye collapse is really bold and stark. Only the sockeye that leave that river and go north past Campbell River through all the little islands of East Vancouver Island, those are the only ones that declined. The ones that go around the south end of the island through Juan de Fuca past the city of Victoria, they've actually been increasing over the same last 18 years. So as a scientist, the first thing you do is say, well, what's the difference between those two areas? And one very obvious difference is the fish that are going north are swimming through heavily industrialized salmon feedlot areas. And we heard testimony that a single farm can produce 60 billion viral particles in an hour, per hour. So as our fish are going through and they're breathing, the water's passing over their gills, and these viral particles are becoming into direct contact with their bloodstream. So then I looked at the reports by Dr. Miller, and she was asked to figure out what's going on with these fish, and she has a remarkable science that she used called genomic profiling, which actually reads the switches that turn on and off in living cells as an organism experiences life. She thought she was going to find that the fish were starving, but instead she got this really stark, shocking pattern that said they were dying and fighting a virus, a retrovirus, something linked to cancer, particularly cancer of the brain. And so when she got this information, she started thinking, okay, well, what could this be? Well, there's a virus that was in the salmon farms on this migration route. It started in 1992, which is exactly when the Fraser sockeye started to decline. It did form brain tumors in these fish. It is a virus. It's a retrovirus that weakens the fish so that they can die of anything.
This is shocking, Alex, to me, and it became very evident to myself and everybody else witnessing this. Here is a virus that's been in livestock but never in fish, jumping into fish, and Dr. Miller's on the cusp of her research and investigating this, and they cut the funding. She only needed $18,000, I believe, to continue, yet DFO's funding and subsidizing all of these fish farms to hundreds of thousands of dollars, but they won't continue her research. Can you talk a little bit about what you believe is the relationship to maybe DFO and some of these fish farming companies?
People have told me a number of things. One is Norway is a very important partner in the tar sands. Stat Oil is the company that's good at getting that oil out. And this industry, the salmon feedlot industry, is 92% Norwegian-owned. They're owned by companies traded on the stock market back in Europe. So some people suggest that's the relationship. Some people think that DFO just got off on the wrong foot with this and have now gotten themselves way out over on a limb. Because one of the things I realized in reading all these documents, senior management has no idea what was going on in these farms. They were not reading the disease databases. So they've been just following policy, which is to say salmon farms are fine, they don't hurt the fish. And they've just been parroting that without knowing what they were talking about. So maybe government has just gone too far. Other people say maybe it's about damming the Fraser River, because as soon as these darn wild salmon runs would just quit, we could dam and divert and sell the fresh water and sell power and all these things. The Fraser River was never dammed. The Columbia was, but the Fraser River never was because of the salmon. Wild salmon are a power cord. Make no mistake about it. They pick up energy from the open ocean and they carry it up the mountains, and everything in between benefits. They grow the trees that make the oxygen we breathe, that pull the carbon out of the atmosphere, that cool the planet. They are one of these things that you just really don't want to mess with. They are so generous to us. People sometimes don't realize that the real economy is the natural world. Once we destroy the trees, the water, the food, we become a poor nation. To say preserving the environment is kind of this hippie, you know, feel-good thing that we can do or not do as we decide, that is a very dangerous attitude, because we need oxygen. We cannot perform photosynthesis, which the plants do for us, to make that oxygen. So right there, you know you need the plants. And the salmon are feeding them.
These salmon farms are free riders. But not only are they free riders, they're taking hundreds of thousands of dollars of tax money, profitable companies, to promote this industry. Could you touch on the use of our tax money and how it's being used in the industry?
This came out quite a bit. Testimony came out. So there's $70 million have been used to develop various portions of this industry, but including promotion of it. trying to make the public believe that everything's okay with the industry. Let's make it look like it's okay. And that's not to say that they knew that it wasn't okay, but the emphasis was on making it look like it was okay, not let's deal with the issue. Every time a problem arose, the government didn't say, okay, all hands on deck, you go here, you do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to figure this out. Nope. What they said was, uh-oh, who's going to write the media lines? And those media lines, they just worried over them for, you know, in through thousands of emails. Oh, we should take this word out. We should put this one in. Oh, we're not going to be credible with our staff if we don't do this. And my feeling right now is the federal government needs to step away from the fish. You guys have totally messed this up. You destroyed the cod on the North Atlantic. We have no reason to trust you. Now that we've seen all of this testimony, we have even less reason. There has to be an establishment of local management of these stocks because, you know, I lived in a really remote archipelago between Knight Inlet and Kingham Inlet when the industry arrived in 1987, and they squished the life out of us. There's 8 people left in my community. The school is closed down. They don't hire local people because local people care about their homes. We have 27 Norwegian feedlots that are feeding shareholders back in Europe. My town of Echo Bay is dead. And so when they come to me and they say, oh, this is good for you and these little coastal communities, that's not what I experienced. They were bullies. It was an invasion. My neighbors who had prawn fishing grounds and salmon fishing grounds and clam beaches, they were just told to get out. There was no compensation for them. And so the farms went on to the vital organs of this archipelago where the upwellings are and the places that were truly growing wild fish to tremendous benefit of everybody. They put the farms there. Now there's like 1 or 2 people per million farm salmon. And it's not good for the local economy. It's not good for us. And furthermore, the industry's losing money. I mean, they have to go catch fish in Chile and truck them or fly them or boat them or whatever they do all the way up the planet. They grind them up, turn them into pellets, throw them back into the water, and they take out less fish. That food passes through the farm salmon. It's pouring all over the seafloor. That is just plain unimaginative. What we need to do is just tell this industry, just get out of the water right now. I mean, the evidence that came out at the Cohen inquiry, the number of pathogens, the fish that were dying, the disease scientists think that are there, the fact that this disease is still in the farm salmon is more than enough to enact the precautionary principle. And then let's just take the jobs, the 1,200 jobs in the industry, and transition those workers to another form of livelihood. This was not done for the commercial fishermen. It was not done for the First Nations. But that doesn't mean we have to be as bad as them. We could do this. If people want to raise fish, let's do it hydroponically, where you take the waste of the fish and then you grow further crops with it. Let's not just pour it all over the seafloor. So salmon farming is now federally run, but what people should realize is the provincial government is the landlord of this industry. They are the ones renting our seafloor to them. And so if we want salmon farms removed, for example, from the narrow migration passages of the Fraser Sockeye, because that's where the danger is when you squeeze these things together, the wild and the farm, if we want to get rid of those, you just need to convince the provincial government not to renew those leases, just to cancel those leases. And then they need to be put in perpetuity for the future. There are food security here in British Columbia because food is made there that we can eat. And I think lots of times people have lost the sense that these fish are food, that this ocean is making food. It's a very dangerous thing for an animal to forget where food comes from, but we're in that situation. There's solutions. Nobody is going to be the loser here. We can definitely deal with 1,200 jobs. We could definitely create a brilliant hydroponic industry. There's people that want to do that. The only people that might take a hit are those shareholders in Europe, and they really are not my concern. I went there. I went to the AGMs. I met those people. And I met with the CEO of Marine Harvest, which is the biggest fish farm company in the world, and they're here. She was a very nice woman. And she said, look, what do you want? And I said, you've got to get off the wild salmon migration routes. You know, if you did that, you would remove so much of the tension here. And she looked at me and she just said, you know, even if I wanted to do that, we can't. Because our profit is based on the share price. Now, that is the deadly thing here. Share prices have to grow relentlessly. The industry is never going to be content with 1, 10, 20 farms. You know, they have 1,000 fish farms in Norway. They can't make a go of it with that. They have to come here and keep growing. Now, perpetual growth has a name, and we call it cancer. It's deadly. Nature does everything it can to prevent one organism from displacing all of the other ones. But that's what we're doing with these fish farms. The predators can't get in. They can't kill off the sick fish. Viruses get in there. They reproduce. You know, they get out of control because all the fish are squeezed together. It's crazy. You know, the greatest sense that I have is, of course, it is not going to last. Chile is going to run out of wild fish to feed this industry.
And I just want to add that not only is this industry infecting our coast, not only is it infecting the wild salmon and destroying communities, it's infecting our very civil structure. Because when you have a doctor who's identified a deadly new virus, her research resources dry up and they can't fund 18,000, it has definitely infected inside the government where they're protecting the industry and not protecting the citizens of British Columbia. When there's an inquiry, I always hope that these inquiries are done in good faith. But when I hear that the government's in negotiation to renew fish farms before the results of the inquiry come out, it kind of gives me a really cynical feeling. So how are we going to stop these farms? And are you optimistic that the results of this inquiry will be positive to move to closed containment? How do you see it playing out? How can we save the fish?
The people have to save the fish. There's just no two ways around it. I mean, even if Justice Cohen came out with brilliant recommendations, I've already seen that happen. We had a committee of MLAs that traveled around the province, and they said, get the industry out of the water in 3 years. And that was a year ago. Gordon Campbell just put that report on a shelf, and nobody's heard from it again. So when Cohen makes his decision or his recommendations, Stephen Harper is the one who's going to decide what happens next. So the important thing about this inquiry is that all the lawyers for the First Nations saw this performance. They understand now the relationship of salmon farms and the government that's protecting them. And what people need to do is make a decision what you want here. And if you don't want salmon farms, here's the beautiful thing. A certain number of peaceful people gathering in one place can stop anything. And I don't know what that number is. We did it in Victoria. We had 5,000 people. So I know 5,000 isn't enough. Maybe it's 20,000. I have no idea. But if people just say, okay, enough, we are going to tell government what we want. And what we want, perhaps, is both industries. And if you want both, then you've got to protect the wild salmon because they can't move. They have one route that they like to use. All those northbound Fraser Sockeye, you're not going to be able to do anything to make them go the other way. So you got to pull these things out of their way and find a better place for them. And really, the only place is on land. Because I have been asked many times, you know, where can you put the industry? And for a long time, I thought we could put it somewhere. But when I was talking to the CEO of Marine Harvest, she said, we can't do that. Okay, so you guys out of the pool, everybody onto land, and let's just refigure it. And if you Norwegians don't want to do that, I'm sorry, but you guys got to go home, and the Canadians are going to reinvent this. I mean, there's a guy in Quebec. He's growing 640 pounds of trout a week and 18,000 heads of organic lettuce. He's not doing this because he's an environmentalist. He's a businessman, and he's using the valuable waste from these fish to grow food. I mean, we use manure all the time on our gardens. We know it grows food. And, you know, aquaculture has gone on for 10,000 years in Asia this way by, you know, putting the fish in the rice paddies and then growing the rice with the fish waste. So, I mean, these are basic principles we know. So the public needs to find their voice. We have a website, salmonaresacred.org. Now, we're not an organization. We're just a couple of people who are pouring ourselves into this, because one of the things, the sad truth that I've learned, is that if you want to fight something really big, you personally have to stay very small, because otherwise they just step on your supply lines and cut you off. You want to be able to just, you know, try to connect with as many people as possible without huge amounts of funds, although obviously we do need some, and people have been great. They've been keeping us going. But we are collecting and uniting through the SalmonAreSacred.org website, through Facebook, and provincial government doesn't know what's going on. I mean, these disease records from the salmon farms, when I read about who got to see them, you can see that it was in lockdown. Nobody saw them except one or two people. And now those records are public, and that is thanks to Justice Cohen. That's a huge thing. No other country in the world has been able to get the disease records from this industry. And believe me, there's people fighting this in Chile, Scotland, Norway, Ireland, Eastern Canada. Eastern Canada is furious at the industry right now because they're putting it right on the lobster beds, and they use drugs to get rid of the lice that kill the lobsters. So Cohen has done us a huge favor, and I'm trying to get the information out in other ways. So this report has been denied, but a lot of the information I can get out to people about this disease, and one of the really disturbing things is it appears to cause brain tumors in the Fraser sockeye. And, okay, all right, we need to know, are there brain tumors? Is there an infectious virus that's causing brain tumors in these fish or not? We really do need to know that. Certainly the government can tell us what is happening here.
It's also a huge public health issue. This is our food supply, and talk about food security. They're just ignoring viruses in the supply. And I tell you, Alex, I totally agree that salmon are sacred. We need to come together. And one thing that I do, and consumers can do everywhere, if you go into your grocery store and you see farmed salmon, you just tell the manager, I'm not going to shop here. And you walk away, and you tell other people, and then they take that stuff off the shelves, and that's been really successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that, because this industry is just, that's what it's doing. It's making a product for people to buy. If people stop buying the product, they'll go do something else. They do that all the time. Unfortunately, the majority of this product is sold in California and I think in Japan. So it's a tough thing to stop that way, but it's still very, very powerful. And the disturbing thing for me, okay, so I'm a biologist. I moved to a remote place with no electricity, no roads. I've been there 26 years. I'm not really about interacting with people. I was, you know, there to study whales. But what I can see is that people have been convinced they have no power in this situation. People say to me all the time, oh, what can I do? I'm just one person. So I would just say, you know, the power of one is all you have, but we all have it. And we, in the end, are the most powerful thing, and we are driving the system. We vote people in. We shop for certain products, you know, which puts money into these certain systems that are creating a lot of problems around us. If we just saw our daily actions as an extremely powerful thing, and we thought about it before we did anything, before we spend any money, before we vote, everything we do, we can make change. If we want to, you know, reduce the energy costs of this planet, we will just turn off everything in our house we're not using. There's many, many things that the individual can do, and ultimately the power does rest with us. Do we actually live in a democracy, or does it just look like we live in a democracy? And I think that's something people might want to get alert to pretty quick, because I'm afraid we're going to wake up one day and these corporations are going to go, hey, you know what, we're the boss. That's the way I see it. You know, we lost all our rights out in Echo Bay. This industry came in. Government officers from the federal fisheries, they actually quit. A number of them quit in protest because they could not stop these things from going into the wrong places, into the nursery areas and, you know, the junctions where the salmon have to rest to go up the inlets. The government actually came and made a map, and they said they weren't going to put fish farms in those areas, and they made those spots red, and then they put the farms right there. It was like, it was such a betrayal of public trust. So I don't know the politics of this, but what I can say to people is, if you want wild salmon, you want fresh oxygen, you want this food to be coming to your door, you better step and find your voice and, you know, in a really peaceful but powerful way, tell particularly your MLAs. I think that's the those are the people that are most likely to hear you. And you also need to write DFO and just say, I want to know, are there brain tumors in these fish or not? I mean, it's a really simple thing for them to figure out.
Like everything else, your civil rights, your liberty, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to exercise it. And one of my favorite parts of your testimony is when they try to accuse you of trespass in our oceans.
Oh.
Norwegian shareholders said you were trespassing, and you said, actually, this is our ocean, and those damn signs are illegal. And he quickly changed his testimony. So those oceans belong to us. They don't belong to Norwegian fish farmers, and our wildlife belongs to us. I think people need to be more militant in what they believe. This is what we want, and I just wanted you to talk a little bit about this idea of trespass. I talked to someone after the testimony, and he says, I think we prefer the Magna Carta in our oceans and not the Norwegian and the fish farming, no trespasses.
That's right. It does go back to the Magna Carta, the right to innocent passage. I've run up against this a lot because I've had people in fish farm boats come charging at me, yelling at me, telling me to get off the lease. Well, if you read their leases, they actually went for the lowest form of tenure. And even if they hadn't, the laws of this land say you can move over the ocean freely. And if these Norwegian farms need biosecurity, so they're saying I'm a biohazard by moving my boat around the ocean, forgetting that billions of gallons of water are passing through their farms, and they can travel 10 kilometers in 6 hours. So my little boat hull, first of all, is not a biohazard compared to that. What they're really trying to do is stop me from looking at them and getting close to them. And so this is a dangerous situation where they just put up signs, no trespassing. Well, instinctively, I will obey that. I'm a law-abiding citizen. But I did talk to the RCMP, and I did talk to the Coast Guard, and boating friends of mine, like a whale-watching boat that was in the area, he's actually the one that picked this up and ran with it. And he's like, no, this is, you guys are not allowed to put a no trespassing sign. You do not own that water. We have every right to be in it. And, of course, the signs came down right away. So when the lawyer for Canada stood up and suggested that I had trespassed because I went near those signs, I don't know if he didn't do his homework or he was just hoping he could bluff his way through it. But, yeah, that was pretty shocking for me to see him make that mistake. Was it really a mistake? I have trouble believing it because that's pretty basic law that you're not allowed to just, you know, prevent people from traveling over the ocean.
Thank you again, Alex, for doing this interview and for being a tireless advocate and raising awareness about these issues, and you and hundreds of others who care about our coast. And I know this is not just up to the environmentalists. It's going to take more. It's going to take people wanting to fight back. So please remind us again on the different websites and information sources before I let you go.
Yeah, go to salmonaresacred.org. So it's salmon, then A-R-E, salmonaresacred.org. And the reason I say they're sacred is because life flourishes everywhere they go.
Thank you again, Alex, for doing this. And I'm sure we'll talk again.
Thanks for the great interview.
You're welcome.
Bye.
We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.